We'll take it. Guys, coming up next to the stage, a friend of the show has been here a few times, always does great stuff, Phil Nielsen. Yeah. Thanks, Eric. So for this evening, I know the theme of the event was T. Hanks. So after a lot of thought, that made me think of, you know, thanks. And with that in mind, that's what inspires this particular story. Everyone is the hero of his or her own story. That's the headline to like a self-help article or a skeevy Craigslist ad. I tend to think of myself, though, not really as the hero of my own story. I'm more of like the third supporting lead. Think like Ron Livingston in Swingers. Yeah. I don't have a more accessible film reference than that, sorry. But sometimes you are in a position where you can make a difference, where you see someone in need and only you can help them. And then at that point, what do you do? So a few years ago, I would commute from Buffalo, New York to Toronto, Ontario, for classes at their Second City Theater. That trip involved driving for about an hour from like Buffalo to Oakville, Ontario, and then taking the GO train from Oakville into downtown Toronto. So that's like an hour train ride. Think like the Metra, if you're in the Chicago area. Standard crowd for those trains is like work commuters, Jays fans, Maple Leafs fans, and on this particular day, one dog. The dog was wandering around the train car without a leash, and I looked up for a minute, and I was like, that's not normal, and then I looked back down otherwise. A few minutes later, I met the owner, Sadie. She was looking for her dog, and nice enough, even if I was confused as to why she didn't have her dog on a leash. I explained I was going downtown, and she said she was taking the train to Sudbury. I was not aware of it at that moment, but that was a big red flag. The GO train, you know, as I mentioned, is like the Metra, and then it runs like roughly a 60-mile radius of like the Chicago or the Toronto area. Sudbury is 250 miles from Toronto. So that's like a commuter flight. That's like a one-hour flight from Toronto to Sudbury, and you would never be able to get there. If you're a Canadian listing for context, that's 400 kilometers. For the moment, though, I was blissfully unaware. The rest of the train ride, it was uneventful until we got to the station. I had been reading a book, so when I got off, I didn't think too much about my surroundings until I got off the train. And I didn't see Sadie anywhere around, but I did see the dog. The dog had wandered onto another train track. So at that moment, I suppressed a rising sense of panic, and as playfully as I could, I got down and like did the thing. I was like, "Hey, buddy! Hey, buddy, come on over here!" And thank God that dog listened to me. He came over. And Sadie came back over. She was explaining she still just needed to get to Sudbury, which still at that time I had no idea what that really meant. I assumed that meant she was going to go into the station and buy a new ticket to like to transfer to a different route. So I led the dog as gently as I could by the collar over to a security officer to explain the situation. She replied in monotone, "Yeah, you'll need to head downstairs to the waiting area." In the meantime, Sadie had already wandered away. I felt bad kind of pulling the dog around the Union Station, and I never did get the dog's name either, but I was worried he wouldn't listen to me if I let go. And so I tried to keep her in sight, I tried to pull the dog along, and by the time we reached the main concourse, Sadie was gone. I was standing there, I have my stuff with me, I have a dog, but I mean, I'm not even a citizen in this country. And I have this other creature with me, this other animal. But luckily, I was next to a Mrs. Fields stand. And the Mrs. Fields associates there were very helpful. They were very nice. And when I explained my situation, they're like, "Oh, okay, we'll find a police officer." So one of them wanders off. A police officer comes over, and I explain the situation. And thankfully, she's much more understanding and helpful than the first officer I spoke to. And she's like, "Okay, I will go try and find Sadie. You stay here." So minutes later, I'm staying there trying to just be friendly with the dog, give him a few strokes on the back. And Sadie comes back over with the officer, and she's like, "Oh, thank you so much. You found my dog." I don't believe that she was trying to deceive me. I don't think she was trying to, like, abandon her dog in Union Station. I think that, unfortunately, that she might not have been fully able to help herself in this context, in this situation. But I don't really know. I'm never going to know because the officer said that I could leave, and so I left. I mean, she most likely needed more help than what I could offer. She probably needed some specific special help. But I still remember feeling immense relief when I was told I could go, and I know why. I was glad I didn't have to be helpful anymore, that I wasn't inconvenienced any further. All I did was walk Sadie a couple hundred feet, or again, like 70-ish meters if you're in Canada, and ask a bunch of people for help. I don't know that in this case, Sadie could have been the hero of her own story, and I wasn't the hero of her story. Ron Livingston probably wouldn't be either. All of us were just the support. We're just there to help. And thank you very much.
That poor dog. Hope that dog's okay. I mean, I hope Sadie's okay too, but man, I was thinking while you were telling that story, like, man, what if my dog was on a train? That would be real bad. Even if I was there, it'd be real bad. She'd just go crazy. And then I thought, what if my dog was here? And you guys might enjoy that, but it wouldn't be that cool for the podcast listeners. You'd hear a lot of this as her tail hits the mic.